Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Take my words and use them to touch hearts. Fill me with your power and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God really does have a sense of humor. The first time Craig asked me to stand up and speak, I said, "No thanks, I'd rather go to the dentist." The next week, I was in the pulpit sharing. Back in January, when I was preparing to go on the session, Craig asked me if I'd be interested in giving the sermon sometime. I said no. Well, I should have learned my lesson about saying no to God, because God started working on me almost immediately, letting me know by several confirmations along the way that he had different plans. So when Craig asked at the May session meeting if anyone would like to give the sermon when he was on vacation, I immediately responded, "I'll do it," and then looked around to see who had said that. I knew God meant that for me, and I had to be obedient to what I knew he was calling me to do. And so here I am. After 40 years of wandering in the desert, the Israelites were preparing to cross over the Jordan River and enter into the Promised Land. However, the Jordan was at flood stage, and they were unable to get across. But God intervened, performing a miracle that paralleled the miracle of the Exodus from Egypt and rolled back the waters of the Jordan River, just as he had done with the Red Sea. When the whole nation had finished crossing, Almighty God tells the Israelites to collect stones and set them as a memorial to remind them of God's power and provision. He then tells the Israelites to use those stones as a memorial, that every time they see them, to tell their children and their children's children the stories over and over again, continually reminding them of God's faithfulness. Why? Because no matter how many times God delivered the Israelites from enemies, plagues, starvation, and slavery, they were prone to forget. It seems incredible that with all the displays of God's power in Egypt and in the Exodus that the Israelites could forget, but they needed constant reminders. Sadly, so do we. God knows how easy it is for us humans to forget what he has done in our lives. We're a very forgetful bunch. We can celebrate his faithfulness one minute, and in seemingly the next breath, we can fall into hopeless despair, wringing our hands and wondering what we're going to do, completely forgetting all that he's already done. Yet when we intentionally spend time celebrating the personal stories of our lives, the memories are kept fresh, alive, and faith is built. These stones and reminders of God's faithfulness are the fabric of our faith. They uplift, encourage, and cause us to rejoice all over again. Each and every time they remind us of just how much God loves us and how he longs to be part of our lives. Recently, Joanne asked us to share our God stories, those stories of how God moved in your life in a way that could only be God. A lot of you have heard my God story before. In fact, most of you are part of my God story. But it's been 10 years now, and I realized sharing it with Joanne that she had never heard it, and so I'm sure there are others who haven't heard it either. I hadn't thought about my God story for a while, and so I need to share it again to remind myself of God's faithfulness. My story really starts years earlier. I was busy raising my kids and working as a teacher's assistant, but I had a nagging feeling there was something more I should be doing. I asked the Lord to show me what that was because I really had a desire to make a difference in the world. Many years later, he showed me that something when I sponsored my first child. At the time, I thought I was helping to change a child's life, but little did I know the Lord would use it to change me. About a year after becoming a sponsor, while watching a news story about the children in Ethiopia, I felt an overwhelming urge to do something to help, and so I ended up sponsoring my second child, a little boy named Tesfahan. Tesfahan was 4 at the time. It's hard to believe he's 14 now. From the moment I received the first letter written by his mother, I felt a special connection to her and her family. She was a widow raising 5 children and struggling to survive, but she had such a strong faith in God and a truly grateful heart. I felt God calling me to do more for this family, and so I wrote to the family to see if they had any special needs I could help with. Tesfahan's mother wrote me she needed an ox to plow the field, a cow for milk, and help in building a new home. The family lived in a very old hut covered in grass. We were able to purchase the ox and the cow for the family, but the house was $2,500 for a house with a thatched roof, or $3,500 for a house with an iron roof. I set out to raise the $2,500. I wrote to family and friends, asked this church for help, had a candle sale, yard sales, and sold handmade note cards and bookmarks. The day I got the $2,500, someone in church handed me a check for $200. So I felt like God was telling me to keep going and raise the $3,500 for the house with the iron roof. In the end, the house ended up costing less than expected, and the extra funds supplied the family with a donkey and cart, a farm ox and cow, planting materials like inset and ginger, new clothes, a bed and blankets, wheat and maize for the family, and feed for the animals. They also purchased butter that they could sell to earn more income, now that they had a donkey cart as a means of transportation. All of this was wonderful, but I didn't realize until later this was not why God had called me to help this family. I did not know at the time, but Tesfahan's mother had been forced to send off an older son to work as an indentured servant. She wrote me later, "Due to my poorness and inability to satisfy even the basic food need, ignoring my love, I gave one of my sons for relatives so as to serve them with his labor and ensure his survival. Because of the gift you sent and the capacity you created, I've collected my lovely boy, and we are living in one shelter. It is because of your support that my family is unified." When I realized that the Lord used me, a mother in Edgewater Park, to answer a mother's prayer in Ethiopia, to bring her son home and restore her family, it brought me to my knees, heart surrendered, willing to do whatever it was that God asked me to do. And so I began my journey as a child ambassador, where I and others have shared my story to get children sponsored. And even though it goes against my quiet nature to stand up and speak in front of people, in my weakness, he is made strong, and God enables me to do it. I have the willing heart, and he has the power, and together we make a great team. This ministry is a gift from the Lord, and an answer to my prayer to make a difference. And so I need to remember God's faithfulness to me, how he always shows up and has enabled me to do things way beyond my comfort zone, because I forget and I let fear take over. I think I have to depend on my own strength and ability instead of depending on him. But every time I've been obedient and stepped out in faith, he has blessed me. He has provided what I needed. He has given me opportunities I would have never had, including a trip to Africa, and connected me with friends I would have never met. And as I've learned to trust God and depend on him, it's grown my faith and deepened my desire and my love for him. I know I can't do this on my own, but he is faithful to come through every time. And so I share my story with you today to keep the memory alive and to celebrate the faithfulness of Almighty God. Joanne often says that God uses her as the object lesson for her messages. And even as I was writing these words last week about remembering God's faithfulness so I don't give in to fear, that's exactly what I almost did. I was given an opportunity to speak at a breakfast meeting for the Catholic Business Network. I don't know why, but the thought of speaking in front of a group of business people kind of terrified me. I thought they'd be more interested in hearing facts and figures than hearing my story. Then I realized I was looking at me and what I could do, and not at God and what he could do. I was forgetting he's always faithful, and that he would be faithful this time too. So I went, kicking and screaming a little, "God, don't make me do this." I not only got to share my story, but I also had the opportunity to share my Zambia presentation, and two children were sponsored. God had a blessing for me, and I almost missed it. In the Old Testament, stone monuments were a common means to allow future generations to remember and participate in the great acts that God had accomplished for his people. The meaning of the Hebrew word for memorial is to remember. We need to look for opportunities to tell others about our memorial stones, our own stories of what God has done in our lives. When we remember his works in our lives, we're moved to gratitude, praise, and humility. They serve as a reminder of his love and our dependency on him. We need to remember, to glorify him, to rejoice in him, to stay humble before him, to gain strength for trials and for future service to him. We need to tell our stories to keep a clear memory of what God has done for us, so we never lose our own sense of awe and wonder. So I would encourage you to share your God story. You just never know who needs to hear it. Yours may be a story of God's provision or protection or healing or intervention. Your story may be the source of hope and encouragement needed for someone to believe that God is truly real. There's power in our stories. We need to write them down. We need to tell them again and again. We need to remember God's faithfulness because he is always faithful. If you have a God story that you would like to share, please let Joanne know. If I can do it, you can too. And if you haven't heard my story before and you'd like to know more about World Vision and child sponsorship, or if you'd be interested in sponsoring a child of your own, please see me after the service. Thank you, and to God be the glory.